Begin with COVID-19 numbers, which spiked in the wrong direction last week with the rise of a new Omicron variant. North Carolina saw a 56% jump in COVID particles found in wastewater last week. That's up to their highest level since early June. The state also saw an increase in COVID hospitalizations for the third week in a row, now back over 1,000 for the first time since late February. Health officials are reminding everyone to keep following those basic COVID precautions. Mask up in crowded indoor spaces, avoid super crowded indoor spaces when you can, and stay up to date on your COVID vaccine. Other news from around the state, as President Biden announced an order expanding offshore wind energy development in the southeast, North Carolina officials announced their own climate action yesterday, a memorandum of understanding with the United Kingdom to expand economic ties and work together to achieve net zero emissions by the year 2050. State Commerce Secretary Michelle Sanders was in London this week to finalize that agreement. And the North Carolina Community College System has a new interim president, Bill Carver, who previously served as interim president back in 2020. Carver's also the president of Nash Community College. He takes over for Thomas Stith, who's stepping down effective tomorrow. Speaking of education, the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board recently approved the hire of 5 new principals for the coming school year. Stacy Boyer at Ephesus Elementary, Kurtisha Jones at McDougal Elementary, Christopher Horn at McDougal Middle, Luke Paulson at Colbreth Middle, and Dr. Jonathan Dixon at Phoenix Academy. We're a little more than a month away from the start of the fall semester. First day of school is set for August 29th. Over to campus now, where UNC and the North Carolina Botanical Garden want to hear from you as they plan future renovations at the Forest Theater. First opened in 1916, the theater has been a spot for outdoor performances on campus for more than 100 years. Now plans are in the works for renovations and improvements there. Get more info about the current plans, plus a link to an online survey on our website, chapelboro.com. You've got until Sunday to fill out that survey. Now we head to space. Last week, the first photos came in from the James Webb Space Telescope, showing incredibly detailed images of the universe. There has also been some groundbreaking research at UNC that could also enhance our view of the cosmos. With that story, here's 97.9 The Hill's Bryden McConnell.
In May, a paper by a UNC professor, graduate and undergraduate students, and other collaborators published new research on methodology to better identify dwarf galaxies. As a result, the group may have laid groundwork to understanding black holes and how galaxies evolve around their growth. Sheila Kanapan, a professor in the UNC Department of Physics and Astronomy, spoke with 97.9 The Hill about the discovery and described it as a game changer. She said dwarf galaxies are fundamental to what is known about galaxies' growth and evolution. That's because they have younger, smaller black holes at their center, compared to ones like at the center of Earth's galaxy.
Our Milky Way is on the relatively smaller side of a giant galaxy. So that means that in its history, it has had a lot of dwarf galaxies that were constituent parts of it. And it currently has many, many dwarf galaxies surrounding it. And so growth by merging is part of why we think that dwarf galaxies are so important to understanding the origin of the supermassive black hole at the middle of the Milky Way.
According to Kanapan, the discovery of growing black holes was not even part of her team's initial research. She and the UNC students were surveying a specific volume of the universe to detail and identify everything in the area, like taking a census of a corner in space. The group's model reportedly showed a more complete picture of the existing galaxies, since several dwarf galaxies are too faint or inconsistent for other research projects to favor. Kanapan explained how the research team then stumbled upon a way to find a treasure trove of growing black holes.
At some point, what we had is essentially a sandbox to play in to understand how galaxies evolve, where we knew everything about everything inside this box of the universe. And it was just a natural question for me, as I'm trying to understand how galaxies evolve in this sandbox, to say, well, which of these thousands of galaxies are actually hosting one of these growing black holes at the center?
To test this, Kanapan said she teamed up with Elon astrophysics professor Chris Richardson, who created a theoretical simulation and models to identify black holes in dwarf galaxies. She said there were some early returns. enough to turn over the data to graduate student Mugda Palomera, who classified the galaxies accordingly.
But it turned out it wasn't so easy because the results were too amazing to believe. And I think that that is honestly what made Mugda's job difficult, was that she found so many that had growing black holes.
After Kanapan's initial survey saw two-thirds of the identified galaxies being dwarf galaxies, more than 80% of those had growing black holes that Palomera said were hiding in plain sight. The team spent years poring over the data to eliminate any other possibilities to why there would be this many black holes, with Kanapan saying the conclusion was their models are accurate. While there is much still to be understood about black holes, this discovery of how often growing black holes are found in dwarf galaxies may be a step toward proving how supermassive black holes merge with others over time. Kanapan said another major success of the research is their survey model style being critical to discovering this data. With that validation, she said maybe the methodology will be used more instead of relying on modeling from big and bright galaxies. And the UNC professor said future black hole research could possibly be done with the help of the James Webb Space Telescope to reach even further into space.
So I'm hoping that we can extend our methodology to these more distant galaxies, maybe with JWST or maybe with other instruments, because there's actually a lot of other efforts to extend our understanding to the distant universe.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
6:19, your time. Aaron Kick here with you this morning. Coming up in a little more than a month, Tar Heel football season gets underway, and we want to send you down the road to Boone to watch the Tar Heels take on App State in September. It's the East Franklin Street Carolina Football Blue Ridge Breakaway presented by the Casual Pint. Great giveaway. Two lucky fans are going to get a travel package with tickets to see the game, plus a two-night stay in Blowing Rock at the Hellbender Bed and Beverage. You'll also win a Carolina Swag Pack, $50 gift card to Aiden Travel, round trip travel to and from the game, and a whole lot more. Bunch of locations around town where you can drop in your entries into the inboxes, including Louise Beck Properties, Ignite Wellness, NC Farm Bureau, Robbie Norris, and more. You can also head to East Franklin Street and take a stroll and visit the businesses downtown. As you do, look for posters with a QR code along the way. That'll give you a whole nother way to enter. Just about a week left to get your entries in. You've got until next week, Thursday, the 28th, so enter before it's too late. Still a lot of chances to become a finalist, though. Get the full list of entry locations at chapelboro.com/Blue Ridge Breakaway. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Month out from the start of the season, individual honors are in for a pair of Tar Heel football stars. Running back British Brooks has been named to the preseason watch list for the Doak Walker Award, which goes to the nation's top running back. And junior wide receiver Josh Downs has been named a second-team preseason All-American by the Sporting News. UNC's season begins on August 27th with a home game against Florida A&M. Turning now to basketball, where it's summer practice season for the Tar Heel men as they look to build on last year's trip to the NCAA final. Most of the roster is back this year, but at Media Day this week, a lot of the attention was on a new face. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has more.
When Pete Nance walked onto the Smith Center floor Monday afternoon, reporters flocked after him en masse. It was a scene akin to the gallery following Tiger Woods down the fairway at Augusta. Everyone wanted to know head coach Hubert Davis's newest signee. From an outside perspective, it's easy to view Nance as simply a plug-and-play replacement for the recently departed Brady Manick. Of course, it's not at all that simple, but Nance said Manick did play a role in his decision to come to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, you know, I got to speak with him a little bit at the NBA G League Elite Camp, and it was really cool because I hadn't even spoken to North Carolina yet or anything like that. And I asked him just how was it, how was your experience, and he said it was the best basketball experience of his life. You know, for him to say that after just being here for 1 year, I thought was says a lot about North Carolina and the kind of people that they have here for sure.
After Manick opened the door, Hubert Davis stepped in. Nance eventually began considering graduate transfer options following the conclusion of the G League camp, and Davis and the Tar Heels had an open scholarship. Davis's pitch to Nance was simple: a chance to succeed both in college and the pros.
You know, obviously there's a long history of NBA players. That was something that was really important to me. But, you know, he knew, everybody, you know, should know watching me play. I'm not like a selfish guy who's going to come out here and try to make it to the NBA but just by shooting it every single time. Obviously being able to compete for a national championship is something that he didn't really have to pitch me on very much, because it's pretty obvious that this team is pretty special.
Nance's offensive game includes a nice shooting touch both inside and outside the three-point line. But it's Nance's defense which has caught the attention of teammates so far, including UNC's own defensive ace, Leaky Black.
He definitely can guard 1-5. Yeah, he's very, like, super versatile, you know, big-time player, big-time athlete as well. So, yeah, he'll definitely be able to help us out, you know, setting the tone. He's not scared to talk. You know, he's screaming, right, like, loud. Like, he's super vocal. Like I said, he plays like a professional already.
At 6 feet 10 inches tall, Nance should also be able to provide critical rest for center Armando Bacot in the post. It's welcome news for both Carolina fans and Bacot himself, who quite literally played until he had to be carried off the New Orleans floor last season.
I mean, he got good length and he's athletic, so I think when I get in foul trouble or I get subbed out, like, it won't be that huge of a drop-off in the paint, and he got that ability to block shots and just give us a paint presence.
Bacot was a major part of Nance's official visit to Chapel Hill earlier this summer, a visit which Bacot said included a bowling trip with several teammates. The cherry on top was Nance getting an inside look at the UNC basketball camp, which featured the famous scrimmages between alumni and the current roster. It clearly made an impression on the Northwestern transfer, who announced his commitment to UNC shortly after his visit.
You know, it's not really something you see a lot of places. I think having guys like Justin Jackson and Marcus Page and Cam Johnson and seeing Tyler Hansborough, you know, all these guys in the gym is it's really a special thing having everybody still around the program. I think it really says a lot about the not only about the type of basketball here, but the type of person that's here, and that was something that was really attractive to me.
Last spring, the Iron Five Tar Heels shocked the world by reaching the national championship game. After joining the returning core of four starters, Nance made the sentiment clear. Next season, the only way Carolina shocks the world is if they don't. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
And one bit of fun news on the state level. Governor Roy Cooper was on hand yesterday as the U.S. Golf Association announced that the World Golf Hall of Fame will be relocating back to Pinehurst in 2024. The Hall of Fame was actually founded in Pinehurst back in 1974. It moved to Florida in 1998, but its lease there is up at the end of next year.